come to Bethlehem and see him whose birth the angels sing. Come adore on bended knee Christ the Lord, the newborn King. This whole service is a service of adoration. What is adoration? The word itself doesn't occur in Hebrew or Greek. We get it from Latin. But perhaps we can learn most about this word from human experience. We adore puppies, right? So adorable. And that sense of love is not just love, but it's also a sense of wonder. Now, with people we love, like our children, our grandchildren, our lovers, there is also a sense of adoration, right? But there's the additional element of, I will give my everything for this person. I will give my all for this person who is my all. And of course, ultimately, this comes to God, right? God is our all, in whom we live and move and have our being. So for me, adoration is a mixture of love and wonder and surrender. I might then ask, why is it so elusive in our spiritual lives? It comes so naturally with the people that we love, or even our animals. But why then is it so foreign? Why is it so hard to attain to sometimes in our spiritual lives? And I think it has to do with this idea of seeing, Come and see him whose birth the angels sing. Maybe the reason we struggle with adoring God is that we're not looking, and therefore we're not seeing. So the goal of this service this morning, one of the goals is, of course, to adore the Lord, but we'd like to hold up Jesus for you as testified to in the scriptures by Isaiah and John and Paul, but also by members of our own congregation. This is not a performance. This is not just another church cantata. It's a service of worship. And if you are here with your very presence, you are worshiping. If you sing, you are worshiping. If you give financially to this church, this is the flowering of that worship. I think that one of the paradoxes of worship at this time of year, it's adore the baby this, adore the baby that. It's everywhere, right? All the songs. But there's a crucial piece of it that we forget, and that is that what's important is not so much that we adore the Lord as the fact that he adores us. Does that seem like blasphemy, that he adores us? And yet that is the lavishness of his love. And it is in him then that we find our all. It is in him to whom we look for light in our darkest times. So, there you go, adoration. Now, in putting this service together, before I knew anything else about the service, I just knew that it was going to be about light and dark. And so in musical terms, I thought, well, what's the instrument most full of light? And I thought, oh, the harp. Okay, so I called up Kristen and she said, yeah, let's do Mozart. And Mozart is, of course, a composer full of light. Could you just maybe play a note for us on the harp or an arpeggio? You hear that light in the sound? All instruments can do this. And this is the raw material of a composer. All the instruments can do it too. Could we maybe hear a note on the horn? Do you hear that light in the sound? Let's hear a dark sound. It's darker, right? So composers work with this to create dark and light. And I asked Michael Anderson, if he would compose for us a series of orchestral pieces that they're not underscoring. It's not accompaniment to anything. They are themselves acts of adoration. And he's working with these values of light and dark in this beautiful music. So when, after each scripture, we hear this, I invite you to offer to enter in with your own adoration.